Isn't it true that God will leave you in the middle of your suffering? Oh, my goodness. Now, I know that these things seem basic, but I do also know this, that we have to be careful as Christians because over the years we hear things, and the Bible says, be careful of wise fables, amen? Like this, I've heard when people say somebody passed away, someone will say, oh, it's because God wanted another angel in heaven. Hello, I love you. But no human being ever becomes an angel. Hello? Angels are a created supernatural God being, and we as his children are supernatural redeemed beings through the blood and through the supernatural ability of God. You and I will never be angels. And I'm glad because guess what? Actually, we have more authority than angels. Praise God. Did you know that? That angels are supernatural servants that actually do work by God for people. Amen? But I really wanted to just address this because God does not want you to suffer. Not in the arena of the natural where people might get confused. See, I've even heard people say, well, someone sick was suffering for the Lord. No, I want you to know something. That every time in the Bible when someone was facing a physical sickness of any kind, whether it was blindness, whether it was a disease, whether it was leprosy, whether it was crippling, oppression. One time, a woman was in the synagogue, bent over. She couldn't stand up straight. No matter what it was, when Jesus came to resolve the situation, he never attributed it to God. Hallelujah. In fact, one time, someone came upon a person and said, oh my goodness, Lord, is he blind because he sinned or because his family sinned? And Jesus said, neither, but that the works of my Father may be glorified. And he caused that blindness to come off of that man. I'll never forget that one time in the Bible, a leper came up and said, oh, Lord, I have leprosy on me. But if it's your will, you know, I know I could be made whole. Jesus, without hesitation, said, it is my will. Amen. Be thou made whole. Yes. Now, I will tell you that I have prayed for people, and I have not always seen the result I wanted to see right now. But I will tell you that those people who are believers and move on to the next realm, they are healed, they are blessed, they are restored, and really, they're better off than I am because now they're living in a world where there is no sickness, there is no darkness, there is no disease, there is no depression. They are fully walking in the goodness and the peace of God. Amen? So I guess what I really want to tell you tonight is that as a believer, the Bible here said that until we suffer, when we have done right and we're mistreated for doing right, that until that happens, we don't even begin to please Jesus. Amen. Woo. Now, if I'm at work and I'm running my mouth and I get in trouble, guess what? I should. And that is not pleasing God. If I go speeding down the street, and I do every now and then, I'm sorry. I know. It's bad. But I do speed on occasions. I try to keep it down so I'm not going so crazy, but I will tell you that I do speed on occasion. And if I get pulled over and the state patrol stops me, first of all, my fear would rise very clear because when I got home, I'm going to get a lesson on why in the world am I wasting the blessing of God by breaking the law. Hallelujah. But if I did get stopped for a ticket, I don't get mad at the state patrol or whoever it is. I don't yell at them. I don't rail at them. I'm kind. And I thank goodness it's been a long time. Whew, since I've got pulled over. Praise God. Hallelujah. But but I have had the experience before. Hopefully not too often, but I have had it. But anyhow, I don't yell at the policeman. I don't get mad at him. I don't disrespect him. Why? I don't even sit there and say, you let five other cars go speeding down the road and you stop me? No, no, no. If I choose to break the law, then I have to handle that fault or that guilt or that problem I did. And guess what? It's no big deal that I do that. It's what I should do. Amen? So the Bible says that when we get in trouble because we do something wrong, listen, that's not pleasing to the Lord. Even the world without God has to deal with that. Amen? The Bible actually says that when I am pursuing God and when I'm doing what's right and I suffer loss or mistreatment or people are persecuting me, treating me mean because I'm a Christian and getting mad at me because I have faith, then that is when suffering is pleasing to God. Amen? But I want you to know something. Any other kind of suffering is not God, and it's not His will for your life. Listen, when you're going through financial struggles and poverty and problems and issues and you can't pay bills and you can't eat, listen, God's not excited about that. In fact, Jesus said, I came to set captives free, to heal the brokenhearted, the blind, and to bring blessing. Amen? Amen? And I want you to know something, that when you're going through sickness, God is with you. He loves you. His compassion is all over you. But God is not wanting you to go through sickness. Amen? Amen. I want you to know something. Sickness comes because of our humanity. And sickness comes because of the oppressive attack of the devil, and sickness comes because sin is in the world. Amen? Not because God wants it on people. But I want you to know something, that God will heal, God will support, God will love, and God will bring you through with an abundance of His grace and His mercy. Amen? So I want you to know something. Don't ever think, just like this, the devil will try to trick you. And you can get sick today, and immediately the devil will say, this runs in your family. Hey, this is your fault. You don't do it now, but boy, you used to drink like a dog. You don't do it now, but you smoke so much that you have this because of what you did. I want you to know something, that our sins, our wrongs, our yesterday are cast as far as the east is from the west, to the point where I don't care what your history was. The Lord never came up to anybody and said, hey, what did you do to get this? One time He did ask how long something had been on someone. But He never said, hey, this is all your fault and you're going to stay in it. In fact, the Lord would heal people that were not even saved. And guess what He'd say to them? Go now and sin no more. Let this be a fresh start for you. If I healed you, then obviously I'm willing to save you. And if I'm going to save you and redeem you, then why don't you just live for me from this day forward without any other problem coming across your path? Amen? Woo! Praise God. Hallelujah. Now you know why I wanted to talk about this. I was just stirred up when I got these questions. I want to just share something with you out of the Bible, because I want you to know that one time the disciples were all upset because they heard how hard it was for a rich man to go to heaven. And they got really nerved up. You want to know why? Because the disciples had money. I mean, when we think about Paul being a tent maker, we think that that's not a big deal today. But back then, let me tell you something. Making tents was a very innovative new way to have housing back in those days. Amen? And when we talk about being in boats, let me tell you something. These were fishermen that did fishing as a livelihood. That's why they could afford to have boats, and that's why they went out and netted fish. They weren't just doing it like I do on a Saturday when I'm just running out fishing and trying to catch a few fish to clean up and make and cook. Woo! Boy, that sounds good. Amen. But no, they would do it as a livelihood because they were men of means. And so they were asking the Lord one time, man, in Mark chapter 10, it says, Jesus looking upon them in verse 27, he said, with men it is impossible, but not with God, for with God all things are possible. Because there was a rich young man that walked away, and the Lord said, man, it's hard for a rich person to enter into the kingdom of God. Does that mean that it would be wrong for me to be rich? No, I want every one of you to be millionaires and billionaires. Because I tell you what, you are more trustworthy with your money than anybody else. You're going to do things that are good, and you'd give to the church and to the kingdom and do all that kind of stuff. I would hope that you would help do crusades and save people and do all kinds of crazy stuff if you had the means to do it. So God wants people in the church to be well off. He wasn't saying that it's harder for a rich man to get to heaven because he had money. What he was saying is, for those who are so rich in the world and they trust in worldly riches and they trust in the things they have more than me, it's hard for them to enter into heaven because they won't put their trust in me. That is the only thing where a rich man gets himself into trouble. That's why the Bible says, hey, don't be rich in this world. Does that mean don't have money? No. Have all the money you have. Just don't let your money have you.
Amen.
That's good. Amen. Yes. And don't let it keep you from living a life that's pleasing to God. Make sure that when it comes to money, you do things honestly. If you have a business, be honest in that business. You know, that's where the Lord's talking about. Don't let things, don't compromise yourself to be well off in this world. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. But Jesus said, but then the Lord says this. His disciples said, Peter was really confused by this. He began to say unto them, saying to him, Lord, we have left all and followed thee. And Jesus answered and said, verily I say unto you, there is no man that have left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's. But he shall receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the world to come, eternal life. I want you to understand something. That sometimes when you're pursuing God, you may seem like you lose some things. But I tell you what, they'll be restored to you. And things will come back stronger and better than what they were before. And the Bible is clear. God said, I pray that you receive 100-fold in this lifetime. Listen, I want you to know something. That in your relationships, God wants you blessed and not suffering. In your health, God wants you blessed and not suffering. In your finances, God wants you well off, content, and not suffering. And he wants that now in this time. And what's powerful about that is God says, not only do I want you to have that here, but if you have all that here, guess what? It's only going to get better, because when you finish and you live a full life, a good life, and you've lived a content life, I'm going to open up the doors of heaven and usher you right in with me. Amen? Woo! Now, thank God that the other side of this, and the one thing that's most powerful about this, which we're going to read a little scripture on before I bring this side up to you, because I just want you to know something. God is always for you. Well, Pastor, you don't understand. I'm saying I'm a Christian, but I've got sin going on. Well, let's stop the sin, and let's run into his arms. You mean he's not? Nope, nope, nope. He's not going to be mad. He's not going to hate you. He's not going to be upset with you. He's not looking to punish you. He's looking to redeem you, save you, protect you, heal you, and bring you out. Amen? Listen, I tell you what, I have seen Christians that have fallen off the wagon, got themselves in trouble, and they said, well, this and this has come upon me because God's mad at me. No, this and this has come upon you because you're outside of the will of God and the devil's whipping your tail. Has nothing at all to do with God. You are the one that walked out. You're the one that got back into old stuff. And when it comes raining down on you, it is not God. It is the devil trying to whip you and keep you from ever returning to God. Don't ever think that. Listen to me. I don't care what you've done. I don't care where you've taken yourself. I don't care if we were addicted to something and got ourselves in trouble. I don't care if we've been in trouble with the law. I don't care if we've had too many relationships. I don't care where it is. Listen, when you stop and come to the Lord, I want you to know something, that the only one who's trying to hold you down and oppress you is the devil. There's nothing from God trying to stop you. He's the one bringing you out, rescuing you, reaching for you, and helping you recover. Amen? Amen. Woo! Don't ever think that just because you're going through something tough that God is mad or God's against you. No, no, no. He loves you. He will never leave you nor forsake you, and he's wanting to help you. Amen? The Bible says here in Romans chapter 8. Boy, Romans chapter 8, you could just live in there for a while with all the good revelations in Romans chapter 8. But I just want to share this with you, that it says in Romans 8, 17, and if children, you know, it's talking about us. If we are children of God, and we are, then we're heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Now, again, that suffering, what does it mean? It means I'm going to lay down my cross on a day-to-day basis, and I'm going to live the way God asked me to live. And if people make fun at me, I'm still going to stay the course. If people say, well, I ain't going to be your friend anymore because you're not doing what I like for you to do, guess what? You might have to go do that on your own. I tell you what. Hallelujah. One time, this was years and years and years ago, and I'm not saying that this is the best way to handle something, but there was a pastor and a lady came to him and said, oh my goodness, Pastor, my husband said he will come to church with me if I will go to the bar with him. And he said, He said, well, what I think you should do is tell your husband to come to church with you, but that he has to go to hell by himself. Amen. Woo! Now, I'm only saying that because I'm just telling you that on occasion, you may have to fight for your faith. But I promise you that God will help you, and as you pray, you're going to actually be a light that starts helping people come to the Lord. I want you to know, I know a young man who had someone get saved just because he quit drinking, he quit fighting, and he started treating his wife right. And they said, man, I cannot deny that you're no longer cussing and getting mad, and you're not going to the bar and drinking and beating people up. He says, and I've even seen how more respectfully you treat your wife. He said, man, you got me convinced that this Christian stuff might be real. He said, there's just one other thing. And I didn't know this at the time. He said, but there's only one other thing. What are you going to do about how much you dislike black people? And the young man's a part of this church, and he told his friend, my pastor's black. Hallelujah. Praise God. So his friend came to church and got saved too. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm just telling you, start where you're at and be willing to fight for what you believe. Be willing to tell people, hey, listen, one reason I go to church is because I don't deal with fear like I used to. One reason I go to church is I don't deal with anger the way I used to. I'm just telling you, my life is different. And all I can say is the only thing I did was receive the Lord. I'm the same person, but I'm totally different because of what God has done. But the Bible says this. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. I tell you what. Man, I look back at how it was before I was saved, and I'm telling you, I would be afraid to go back. I mean, honey, am I telling the truth for you and I, right? That you would never go back to being around me without Jesus again, amen? Yeah, absolutely. Years ago, Miss Regina came out and told me that one time. She said, honey, I love you. She said, but if you ever walk away from the Lord, you're going to have to do that by yourself. And I said, well, praise God, I don't plan on doing that, amen? But I want you to know something, that we need to understand that even if we do suffer loss and we see someone pass away too soon or we see something happen that is tragic and disappointing to us, I want you to know something. Don't allow the enemy to make that suffering bigger than your faith. Because I promise you, many things that you're upset about or disappointed in, they're going to be restored to you. Amen? Listen, I got people in heaven right now. But I know that one day when I finish living this life, I'm going to be restored. One day my mama's going to look at me and say, baby Philip, woo! Like she used to, amen? And I tell you what, those are things to hold on to. You know, I could be upset because I want you to know that there were some medical procedures not done right. And that's part of the reason why, don't get me wrong, my mom was getting older and dealing with issues, but there's a good chance that if they hadn't tried to do work on her at some smaller hospital and had let her go to the Cleveland Clinic where she had been going, there's a good chance that my mom would have still lived for years beyond what she did. But even with that being said, I had to settle into the thing that was most important. My mom was born again and in love with Jesus when she entered in to that next realm. You know, I remember there's a story of a King David in the Bible. You might not remember that. He had a child that died right after it was born. Within a few days after it was born, that baby died. And they said the story is that King David was weeping and crying and lamenting every day, and that he wasn't eating and he didn't even change his clothes for those few days. He just stayed praying and asking God to heal the child. And his baby passed on. Wow. When something tragic happens, we can do three things. We can allow the devil to have his way. We can blame God. Or we can understand that we need to trust God. And David's choice was that this didn't work out at all the way he expected. This was not good. And they said, man, David has been in such bad shape while the baby's been sick. He's been lamenting, crying, not eating. I don't even want to have to tell him what happened. But when David found out that the baby passed, said that, I don't know how quick he did it. Doesn't say how quick he did it. But it says that he got up. He went in, he washed himself off, cleaned himself up, put new clothes on, put his kingly clothes back on, went out and sat down and ate something. And of course, you know, sometimes when you don't always react the way People want you to react. People don't like it. So some people was accusative towards David, and they said, when the baby was sick, you know, you were in such bad shape, but now the baby's passed, and you're out here eating, you know, because he didn't give them the response they expected. And David said, hey, I can't bring my child back, but I can go where he is. Whew. And I want you to know something, that sometimes when you suffer loss in this life and things don't work out, especially in regards to people you love, don't ever let the enemy steal you with bitterness and deceit and get you so caught up in their passing that you never breathe and remember that I can hold on to their memory. I can hold on to the impact they had in their life. And one day, by the grace of God, I can see my mama again. Amen? Woo! Praise God. One day, by the grace of God, we're going to rejoice, shout, and celebrate. Do you know what it's going to be like? Can you imagine worship in heaven? I mean, we have pretty good times of worship. Amen? But can you imagine when all the people you know that believed with you in Christ, and we are in his presence, and the Lord comes out, and him and the Father, you know, he can just disappear into the Father and come out of the Father, and the anointing and the presence of God is going to be so strong, you aren't going to be able to stand up. You remember that song? I can only imagine. Whew. Will I stand in your presence? Or to my knees, will I fall? Let me tell you something. I'm telling you, there's going to be a lot of falling down and getting back up in heaven. Amen? Because the presence and the goodness of God is going to be there, and it's going to be refreshing. I just want you to know something, that God is always for you. God is always with you. And no matter what we face individually in this life, we need to know that God is going to be with us. You know, I'm reminded of Philippians chapter 4. I love that scripture because it says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And it says that the Father will meet all of my needs according to his riches and glory. And I love that. But there's just a scripture in there in a verse or two where Paul is speaking. And he just says, I speak in respect of want. For I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to abase, and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer, but I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. In other words, I tell you what, every one of us are going to have great moments. Every one of us are going to have difficult moments, but what should be the foundation of our trust, our hope, our faith, our happiness, our ability to get back up is to know that God is with us and that he's going to help us every time. Amen? Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. Now I'm just going to pray for a couple people. We're just going to lay hands on our brother Bob, and we're just going to keep him in prayer before the Lord, because God is a restorer and a healer. Father, now I thank you, God, that Bob, in all honesty, has received some devastating news in the natural, and it's real, God. But Father, I also thank you that you are our healer, our redeemer. The Bible says that not only are we forgiven through the work on the cross, but by your stripes we are healed, Father. And Lord, I just thank you that through every step of this process, Father, Lord, we release in Jesus' name the working of miracles, gifts of healing, Father, to flow into Bob, Father. We curse every cell, every wrong thing in his body, and we command that to come out. We loose the healing power of God. Total restoration, total healing, Father. And Lord, we command this disease to come out of him and to be gone, Father. And Lord, we thank you that total healing is upon him. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Father, I thank you that the doctors will have wisdom, God. I thank you that every step of every procedure brings him to restoration and recovery, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Praise God. I'm going to pray for your dear wife over here. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for the healing that's been released in her. But God, I curse asthma, Father, and Lord, I curse every symptom, Father. Difficulty in breathing, tiredness, weakness, Father. Lord, any pain and any difficulty, Father, every symptom I command that to come out. And Father, I just loose the working of miracles and healing to flow into her, Father. And Lord, I just thank you for it. And we give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Woo. Praise God. Do we have any prayer requests? Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, now, God, we thank you, God, for this procedure for Amber, Father, Lord, that this is going to bring total recovery and healing, Father. Right now, God, we just thank you for the recovery process. This healing would come supernaturally, Father, and, Lord, we thank you for it. And, Father, we thank you for the procedure on Braden, Father, Lord, that supernaturally this is bringing health and healing and restoration, Father, and, Lord, we just thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Praise God. Hey, God bless each and every one of you. I want to thank you for being here tonight. Amen. And God bless you. And I look forward to seeing you on Sunday morning. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, and before that, I want to see you tomorrow and Saturday. Hey, God bless you.